Again, we're reminded of the fact that we have so much to be thankful for. And that's obviously been the theme the last several weeks as we've been preparing for Thanksgiving, and we're continuing that theme this morning. I want to share with you something that I found here, and maybe some of you already know this, and maybe some of you don't, but either way, you will know it by the time we're done now. Whether you knew it or not, when you go up to the Antarctica, it's very unlikely that you will ever find a dead penguin on the ice. So people wonder why this is, and it's kind of a really interesting dynamic that takes place. Penguins are extremely committed to their families, and they mate for life, as well as they are compassionate towards each other and their offspring, and they will continue to gather together as family units throughout the course of their life. If a penguin is found dead on the ice surface, other members of the family and their social circle have been known to dig holes in the ice using their beaks until the hole is deep enough to be able to put the dead bird into the hole. And then after that has taken place, the male penguins will circle around that hole and say, "Freeze a jolly good fellow, freeze a jolly good fellow." Now, just so we're all on the same page, that has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about this morning. Like, 0%. It was simply a thought of, it's for some of us, it may have been a tougher week. And we just need to be able to laugh sometimes together. So, that take it for what it's worth. You've learned a whole bunch of things about penguins that are not true this morning at church. This morning our focus is on Thanksgiving again. And it's on God's patience with us. It's on how God shows patience to us as followers of His. We've talked about God being good. We've talked about God being gracious. Now this morning we're going to talk about God's patience. So I want you to turn with me. We're going to go to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we're going to chapter 3. If you're turning there, I'm going to have you look up. We'll start at verse 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3, starting at verse 3, it says this: "Above all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, 'Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation.' But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day." This morning, as we think about, as we talk about the idea that God is patient and our need to thank Him for His patience in our lives and for that gift that He gives to us, we're talking about God's patience concerning humankind. Okay? Many of us, I know, are impatient people. And I throw us because I'm throwing myself in there, right? For us, at times, we get impatient when we go to the checkout counter at Walmart or Giant and the person in front of us has 10 extra things in their cart above the maximum 15 things they're supposed to have in my line that I'm in. I begin to get impatient. And then that person goes up, and once you know it, of course, at least one of the things that's in their cart doesn't have the UPS thing that you need to scan it and get the price. So now they got to do a price check, and now you're sitting here even longer. And then when they finally get it, the person is intent on paying the exact amount for their bill. So they pull out their little change purse, and they start counting out their dimes, their nickels, their pennies, and you're like going crazy, right? This isn't the kind of impatience we're talking about. We're not talking about the kind of impatience that many of us probably displayed over the last 5 days as we were waiting for results for an election. Right? We became impatient in that process. We wanted to know what the outcome of that process was going to be. We're not talking about the kind of impatience that we have when we call customer service and you get put on hold and you get transferred and put on hold and transferred and put... That's not the impatience that we're talking about. When it comes to humans, whether unbelievers or believers, God shows patience to us because He created man with free will. And God won't circumvent our free will. That means God works His will while also allowing man to exercise his free will in how he responds to God. Which requires, any guesses? Patience. This requires obvious patience from God. Peter speaks about a promise some said God was slow in keeping in the passage we just read. That promise had to do with the return of Christ. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 8 that we just read, Peter said unbelievers were scoffing at the promise of Christ's return. They said things were going on just as they had since the beginning of creation. Nothing has changed. But in the verses following our text this morning, Peter indicates not only had the slowness of Christ's return caused unbelievers to scoff, it had caused believers to doubt. And he encourages believers to remain faithful, knowing God will keep His promise and Christ will return. The idea of slowness here is the idea of being sluggish or lazy or not attentive. And to the contrary, God is attentive in every detail of our lives, working out His purposes while respecting man's free will that He gave to us. There's coming a day when the last person to reject Christ will do so. And last person to choose Christ will do so. And in that moment, God will have orchestrated things in such a way that all the prophecies will have been filled and Christ will return. Until then, guess what? God is being patient. You may have noticed I talked about verses 3 through 8 just briefly there. As I talked about the believers and His patience with us. That really comes from verse 10 through verse 18. But the verse I want us to focus in on this morning is actually verse 9 this morning. So if you're still in 2 Peter chapter 3, go to verse 9. In verse 9 it says this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." The first thing I want us to look at this morning is this. God is patient with unbelievers. That's what we see in this passage. God is patient with unbelievers. When Peter says the word "you" in the second part of that verse, he is addressing the scoffers that he had mentioned in verses 3 through 8 that we read about at the beginning of our time together. God's allowing unbelievers as much time as He can for them to repent and choose to come to Christ. It's His desire that in our free will that we will make that decision. But as patient as God is, the eternal clock is counting down. And when the eternal moment that we mentioned earlier comes about, time will be up. So while God is presently patient, time will come when His patience comes to an end. It is said that the devil once called together all the demons in hell. I guess it was kind of an annual meeting for them or something. And he asked for suggestions as to how to damn the souls of mankind. How do we best destroy mankind? One demon suggested that they destroy man's confidence in the Bible. Another said they should deny the idea of life after death and the existence of heaven and hell. Another said that they should cause man to doubt the reality of Christ and the story of how forgiveness of sin and salvation can be found through faith in Him. Still another said, let's get them to doubt the very existence of God. Then one demon came forward and said, let's tell men that the Bible is God's Word. Let's tell them that there is real hell and real heaven. That people who die without trusting Jesus go to hell. And those who believe in Christ go to heaven. Let's tell men God loves them and has provided a way that they can be saved. Let's tell them that they ought to be saved. But that they have plenty of time to decide. It's said that all the demons in hell and Satan himself applauded that demon and said, that's it. That's what we'll do. Men will fall for that. That's the best way to damn the souls of men. See, nobody plans an eternity apart from God. Many simply put off coming to Christ until it's too late. They've thought that they should, but they just don't make the decision to. They've investigated it. They might even believe in some of the claims that the Scripture makes, but they'll get to that in a little bit. There's too much life to live first. They may even understand that everything that Scripture says in regards to being saved, but they just feel like they have plenty of time down the road to do that. One person once said, the road to one day leads to the destination of never. The road to one day leads to the destination of never. So we see in this verse that God is patient with all people, specifically speaking with unbelievers that we've looked at so far. So I want to just take a few minutes and talk about three risks that unbelievers have when they put off coming to Christ. When they delay this decision, right? The first is they run the risk of dying before they believe. That's a serious risk. We may not like to talk about death, but the reality is that each and every one of us is headed in that direction in our lives. From the day that we're born, the countdown timer is on. Some are a little bit closer to that moment than others, may not even realize it. And here's the deal. When people quit dying, then I'll quit talking about death. But until then, death is a reality and a part of everybody's life, and nobody knows when they're going to die. Sometimes in life, for whatever reason, we choose to put things off in our lives. Oftentimes, things may still work out just as we had kind of hoped that they would just a little bit down the road, a little bit later. Other times, when we delay something in our lives, we end up completely missing out on it because we took too long to decide. We took too long to make a change, to do something. So we miss out on whatever it was that we delayed. That is a serious risk that we should not take with our eternity. Another risk that unbelievers have when they put off coming to Christ is, secondly, they run the risk of hardening their heart. Every time the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and you refuse to accept Christ, your heart becomes a little bit harder and harder. And this is also true for us that know Jesus Christ and we feel like He's speaking into our lives about something and we put Him off in that regard. I believe our hearts become a little bit harder and a little bit harder when we tell God nowhere to wait. But right now we're talking about the hardening hearts of unbelievers. People that don't know Christ. Their hearts become a little bit harder and harder until after a while, when God speaks, you don't even hear His voice anymore. Rachel and I and the kids, when we lived back in Ohio, we lived in a city called Englewood. And Englewood lined up with Dayton, Ohio. And Dayton, Ohio had an international airport there. And our house was in line with one of their runways. So when we first moved into our house, as the wind would be blowing in the right directions and everything was right and the planes started to come onto that runway, we noticed very quickly that there's a lot of noise that comes along with that. And even like windows shaking because they were low as they were coming in. And initially when this started taking place, we would just pause everything. If we're in the backyard talking, all conversation kind of just paused, let the plane fly over, and then we would begin to resume conversation or whatever it was we were doing. After a while, we began to kind of get used to the noise of the airplanes flying over, right? So as the airplanes would come, we might just speak up a little bit, but we would continue on with what we were doing. Same thing is true for some of you, I'm sure, with the train tracks that run through our communities here. All right. When you first moved into your house 5, 10, 20, 30 years ago, you noticed the trains as they would go by. You noticed that as they would go down Mill Street or the other streets and blow their horns, you noticed all that. But then as time went by, you begin to just block it out. You begin to not even realize that those trains are still blowing their horns probably hundreds of times in a day. We become less sensitive to them over time. The point is this: the first time you hear it, your ears are sensitive. You pause and you wait for that noise to pass by because it seems so loud. But after a while, you get to the place where you just continue right on. You don't even notice it. You're oblivious to it. As if the plane or the train doesn't even exist. That's what happens to the person who says no to Christ again and again and again and again. In this situation, we're talking about people that say no to Christ, His invitation to accept Him. But I expand that to us as believers. And it also happens to us when we say no to Christ, when He asks us to be obediently following Him in areas of our lives. After a while, when the Holy Spirit speaks, His heart, the heart of the believer, the heart of the person that has said no to Christ and isn't the believer, it's hard. And there is no desire to trust Jesus as Savior. That's a huge risk. Another risk that unbelievers have when they put off coming to Christ is they run the risk of not being ready when Christ returns. Right? There's an interesting story that comes from Washington. Many residents of Washington remember exactly where they were and what they were doing in one particular morning in 1980. That's the morning that Mount St. Helens erupted. The shock wave rattled windows for hundreds of miles, it says. Prior to the eruption, scientists monitoring the peak didn't know when it would go off or how big the blast would be, but all the signs of a live volcano were evident. It was just a matter of time. They all knew that. Local media had issued warnings and faithfully reported had faithfully reported St. Helens' vital signs, what was going on with it, the updates on it. But as time elapsed, And the big eruption did not occur. People became less concerned and more bold. Campers, photographers, and others moved into the area again, and they would intentionally go and get closer looks at this thing. Had to get better pictures and keepsakes, perhaps. Then on May 18th, 1980, the mountain that had been dormant since 1857 spewed ash skyward and killed at least 30 people. They had failed to heed warnings, and they died, really, if we're being honest, needlessly. So, unfortunately, that's the way it may be with some people that don't know Christ. We fail to heed the warnings. It's just possible that we may not be ready when Christ returns. Last thought I'd like us to look at this morning is if God is patient not only with unbelievers, but God is patient with us as believers as well. As I said earlier in the message, when Peter speaks of the word you in that verse 9, right, he says, the Lord is slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anybody to perish, but everybody to come to repentance. So I said earlier that that word you, he was addressing the scoffers that he had mentioned in verses 3 through 8. And that's true. But he was also addressing those believers that he was speaking to in the following verses, verses 10 through 18. Peter says something interesting to believers about the promise of the Lord's return. And he says that in verse 11 and 12, kind of in the middle of verse 11 to the middle of verse 12. He says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Speed its coming. It's an interesting little end to that sentence. How can we as followers of Jesus speed up the day of His return? Since the day of Christ's return will occur when the last person to reject Christ will have done so, the last person to receive Christ will have done so, it's clear that we can speed the return of Christ through taking the gospel to everybody that we possibly can. Especially to those who have not yet heard the word of Jesus Christ. That's why these boxes are so important. That's why I said in the time of prayer for them, it's so much more than just what's inside them. It's so much more than the toys that are in those boxes. It's so much more than the soap and the toothbrushes and whatever else are in those boxes. Those are great things to help meet the personal needs of. But we are being able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to perhaps places where it has never been before. And in so doing, guess what? We're speeding the process of Christ's return. We're speeding the process. Scripture tells us when the good news about the kingdom has been preached all over the world and told to all nations, the end will come. Man, I've had conversations with people over the course of years when they're going through hard things or we as a nation are going through hard things. And they say, man, come Lord Jesus, come, right? They say, we are so ready for Christ just to come back and put us out of this misery that we're living in. Well, here's the news, guys. We can be a part of speeding the process. How serious are we about those kind of comments? When will the kingdom come? I'm not suggesting any dates this morning, but I do know this. When the church has finished its task of evangelizing the world, this morning we're taking a little step towards helping with that, with these Operation Christmas Child boxes. When the church has finished its task of evangelizing the world, Christ will come again. The Word of God says it. George Elton Ladd, he was a pastor and a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary. This is something that he has written, and it's so powerful and so true. Is he coming soon, he asks. He is. If we, God's people, are obedient to the command of the Lord to take the gospel into all the world. He alone, who has told us that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony until all the nations will hear it. Then we will know that objective has been accomplished. Here's what I know for a fact. Christ hasn't returned, he goes on to say. Therefore, the task is not yet done. When it is done, Christ will come, he says. Our responsibility is not to insist on defining the terms of the task. Our responsibility is to complete the task. So long as Christ does not return, this is a good thing for us to remember as believers, it's not done. And he finishes with this sentence, let us get busy and complete our mission. R.A. Torrey was a pastor and evangelist back in the late 1800s, early 1900s. I want you just to listen to some advice that he gives as well. He says, a wise man, when he sees a thing ought to be done, does it immediately. A fool, when he sees a thing ought to be done, says, yes, it ought to be done, but I won't do it now. To accept Christ, well, you have the opportunity to do so if that's where you're at today and you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To accept Christ while you have the opportunity to do so is a wise thing. For those of you that know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to share Christ when you have the opportunity to do so is a wise thing. I'm so very thankful that God has chosen to be patient with me in my journey of faith. So many times, He has blessed me with His patience. We all should be thankful that God has been patient with us on our journey to faith. For some worshiping with us this morning, you may have had a relatively short journey to coming to knowing Christ personally. But for others, it might have taken months or years or decades before you got to the point where you said, yes, Jesus, I will be yours. Perhaps you still aren't even at that point today. Yes, Scripture tells us that God is patient. But don't run the risk of missing the opportunity. If you would like to talk about salvation, and what that looks like and how that takes place, I would encourage you, don't wait, but do that today. Come and talk to me, talk to Pastor Larry, email me at the church, email Pastor Larry, call the church. We would love to do nothing more than spend time talking to you about that journey to salvation. For the rest of us, let's be thankful to God that He has been patient with us, that He is patient with us. Let's take time to recognize God's patience for us and with us in the days that are ahead between now and Thanksgiving. Let's be really intentional about that. Let's also remember as believers in Christ that the end will come someday. And God desires for us to be a part of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ with a world that desperately needs to hear it and accept Him. So not only should we be thankful for God's patience in our lives, but we should also be willing to be used by God in feeding that process of His return. Let's be intentional to invite people to join us on a path of faith. And I know it's hard to do. I get that. I find it hard to do, just like many of you find it hard to do, to share our faith journeys with people. That being said, there is absolutely nothing more important for the soul of somebody else than for us to allow the Holy Spirit to use us as a conduit of sharing the good news and the hope of Jesus Christ. So during the next month, as we talk about Thanksgiving coming up, as we talk about Christmas coming up after that, many of us are going to have opportunities to gather together with our family and our friends. I'm just going to guess that in each one of our families, at least in our friendship groups, there are people that don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe today you can begin to process who some of those people are. Begin to pray for them. And begin to say, God, allow me opportunity to speak into their lives. Allow me opportunity to be able to share my faith journey with somebody else over this Thanksgiving, this Christmas, whatever it might be for you. And pray. Say, God, soften the heart of this person. Prepare them for this conversation. Give me boldness, God. The ability to share with them your hope. And I know we like to say that we're praying for God's will in our lives as to what we should do. I can tell you this. I don't believe it's ever going to be against God's will for us to share our faith with somebody else. So let's not just pause and say, well, I'm not sure if God's really telling me to do that. I think our scripture tells us He is. It tells us to speed the process. How do we speed the process? We speed the process by telling people about Jesus. The Great Commission tells us what makes believers people, baptizing them, teaching them, all that kind of stuff. God has given us the green light to share our faith with people. So will you, over the course of the next months, when you have the opportunity, will you take that step, that bold, bold step, and share your faith with somebody else? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You again for the opportunity to be here and to worship You. It is so wonderful to be able to join together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and worship You in so many different ways this morning. Lord God, I do pray and thank You for Your patience in my life. I thank You for Your patience in the lives of us before we came to know You. And I thank You for Your patience in our lives as believers. You're incredibly patient. And we recognize that today, and we thank You for that today. Heavenly Father, help us. Help me, help each one in here that knows You to be a part of speeding the process of Your return. Help us to be willing to boldly stand on the foundation of Your word and share our faith, our journeys, what has taken place in our lives with other people, and go beyond just sharing it, but even talking to them, Lord God, about what they may need to consider in their lives. And it takes boldness. It's hard. So God, give strength. Give courage. As I believe some in here, some at home, are committing to doing this today. We know You've given us the green light to do this. Your word tells us that. So help us to step out in faith and trust You in sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with others. We pray this in Your name. Amen.